The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
All right, let's see how many burner Twitter accounts we can set up. Let's have some fun today. It's a What Are the Odds Wednesday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for Wednesday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, the role model, Jong Lee, the bleeping master. If you want to get in today, 713-780-ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Jong Snow, with a zero, not an O, at Degenerates975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And it's a Wednesday where we do things just a little bit differently. When you call, text, tweet, send a raven, run naked through the studio with something written on your chest, put odds on it. What are the odds that ever happens?
I'm going to go zero.
Probably so. Okay, here's a what are the odds for you. What are the odds that apparently it's a radio must that you have to talk about LeBron versus MJ for 2 hours?
Is it a must?
Apparently, that's what everybody else is doing.
No, I don't think it's a must.
What you have to do.
I'm on the. I think we can agree that it's to the point where if someone believes one way or the other, you can't really clown them for it.
No. I think I could if I wanted to make a case for either guy, I can make a damn compelling case.
But it's a lot of work either way. I mean, they played different positions. They played in different eras.
It's funny to me because there's whoever your guy is, you're only going to look at the stats that back up your guy. And that's why I think it's almost pointless. But the reality is,
At this point, I'm fine with an argument for either side. I don't think it's crazy to. I don't think it's crazy to have that discussion. And that's
well. See,
where
I didn't
at.
Think it was crazy last year, and and again, I don't know which way I would go. I don't really have a strong opinion that this guy's better, or that guy's better. But you could make a case last year for LeBron. Now you can make an even better case. And I think in the end, when you look at his whole career, that's what you're going to measure it by, not where he is right now. And the fact that you're having that conversation now ought to tell you something. But what he's done is worth being appreciated. And rather than, but it's not this guy, or does it match up to this guy? While I think that's a nice, convenient little thing for people to do, the reality is, how about we just enjoy what the guy's doing?
That's it.
And then when it's all done, we can sit back and say, wow. Jadrian says, that's what Colin Cowherd's talking about.
LOL. Oh, no. Is that what he talked about?
I'm sure that's what everybody's talking about today. I've heard parts of three shows today, and that was a conversation. So I wanted to get it out of the way and nip that in the bud and be gone.
I listened to only music today.
Really?
Yeah. Stern is on vacation. So I just, just listened to some tunes. Rocked out.
I listened to a little bit of Barry and Joel. On the way in.
Oh, not me.
Listened to a little bit of Lance and John this morning.
Not me.
When I was dropping the wife off. Man, I don't know what's wrong with me lately, but this is like the second time in 3 days where I've slept almost all day.
I would like that.
I got up this morning, did my work for the site, sportsmap.com. Check it out. Really good. And then, you know what? It's like, okay, I got a little time here. I'm going to take a nap and then go to the gym.
Okay.
And this is about 8:30 in the morning, right? And I think, okay, I'll sleep till about 10, go to the gym, and then head to the office. Woke up at 1 o'clock.
Nice.
And it's funny, in my head, I always kind of know what time it is when I wake up. And I go, okay, it's got to be about 10:05. Let's get dressed and head to the gym. 1 o'clock? Really?
Isn't it always 4:20 in your mind?
Most of the time. Yeah. A.M. or P.M. So, but very strange, man. Because I think I'm just getting finally caught up. From the last month has been very busy, and you know.
A good time for vacation to come around then.
It is. It is. I ordinarily am kind of like, I don't really want to leave. No, I really need a break.
I've been hesitant also because I don't know if you've heard this or not, but our ratings have been pretty solid for the last several months. And
yeah, that
it's hard to it's like trying to walk away from a blackjack table when you've won 9 hands in a row. You know eventually it's going to come back down to earth, but it's really hard to leave at that moment. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's called being on a heater.
Yeah.
Right now we're on a heater.
Yeah.
And
well, and that's and honestly, I was going to stay a few extra days, and I'm just like, well, if AJ's going to be gone, I don't want to be gone the whole week. That way, we're only missing a couple of shows where one of us isn't here.
Yeah.
And depending on what happens, man, if things stay the way they're going, I may not take my trip to Canada this year just because I don't want to be gone for 2 weeks.
Right.
But you know, right now I need a break though.
Yeah, I'm with you.
This has been,
you're not taking this away from me. No way.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about it, but I'm also, you know, I'm excited to get back and see what the shows are like with trying to mix up the guests a little bit. I think it'll be interesting, but we shall see.
How about those Astros de Houston? Bullpen woes continue. Well, this time at least it wasn't your boy.
Yeah, well, he had his own problems the other day in Cleveland, but
oh yeah,
it's funny though. I mean, overall the guy's been really good. That game when he has been way off, it's been bad, and that was bad. But last night,
yeah, he's a tough case because he's played in 20 games to this point. His ERA is 4.76, which on the surface is not good for a closer in Major League Baseball. When you dig a little bit deeper, of those 20 appearances, he's only allowed runs in 4 of them.
And twice it was just a run.
Yeah, twice it was just a run.
And they won those games. He had more than a one-run lead.
No, they won one of the games. They lost the other one.
I thought they won both of them.
No, they lost the game to the Padres.
Okay.
They won the game against the Rangers. That was opening day. But then those two games, the 4 earned runs in 1/3 of an inning pitched against the Yankees.
Yeah.
And now 3 earned runs in 0 innings pitched against the Indians. That'll balloon up the old ERA.
And, it will.
I'm with you still. I don't think he's necessarily been horrific. If you just look at it, at the numbers, it's easy to say that. And every time a closer, I don't care who the closer is, blows a save, first thing you do is you look up his stats and be like, how often is this going to happen?
Yep.
And you see 4.76 and you go, son of a bitch, our closer sucks.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's not necessarily the reality.
Well, the instant reaction is, oh, let's give Devo a chance.
Yeah.
How'd that work out yesterday?
Not great. But not great.
You know what? And I don't worry too much about losses like that because the reality is, The reason I know this team is very, very good is because this is how they're losing games.
Right.
For the most part, it's closer blows it, or they have a game where the bats don't show up and they only lose 2-0 or 2-1. And there's not many, they got blown out 12-2 games on there, where they just didn't show up in anything. And I think that bodes well. I think things are only going to get better. They're gonna fix this back into the bullpen thing, and even
I mean, I still
overall think it still hasn't been bad.
We can still agree that's the priority, right? For trade purposes.
I still almost think I'd like to have another bat in the lineup.
Really?
Yeah.
Because
you know what's gonna happen when you get to the playoffs? McCullers is gonna be in the bullpen or somebody like that,
right?
And yeah, it to me it's almost. I mean, that's all we care about, right? If you told me that was going to be the guy closing games for you in the playoffs, would you feel better about that than Ken Giles? I probably would.
Yeah.
So
I'm trying to think of like if there's a team out there who's got a really solid closer who's kind of fallen out of contention, who may be looking to trade their guy. The only one I can really point to is Kelvin Herrera for Kansas City. That team is really bad, and he's got a sub-1 ERA. That's he'd be a welcome addition to pretty much any team that he joined. He's got 11 saves, one blown save on the season, 17 strikeouts in 20 and two-thirds innings. Solid season so far for Kelvin Herrera. But, I mean, every other team is looking at that guy, too.
Yeah.
And you know.
And that's the thing. If you're asked to give up a whole bunch. Now, I still think, and I'm not big on trading major league players, but don't you have a couple of starting pitchers that aren't starting right now that might be pretty good for a team down the road that you could throw into a trade?
Are you talking about like Brad Peacock?
I'm talking about Peacock, McHugh.
Yeah.
I mean, either one of those guys, if you put them in there, I mean, you're not, they're not really, they're just depth right now. You may need them at some point.
Right.
If somebody gets hurt, but would you need them in the playoffs?
I still am a believer in the guy, the 25 guys that are up right now. Those are the guys who are getting you here. You've got a farm league full of dudes that aren't going to help you win a championship this year, which to me should be the priority, winning a championship right now, capitalizing while you've got arguably the best roster in baseball. But you, that's an age-old argument that nobody wants to hear.
Well, but I also think you're kind of getting into a different situation now because you're going to need some of those guys over the next couple of years if you're going to keep this run going. Because the reality is, you're probably losing Keuchel at the end of the year. There's probably more than one guy that you're going to have to replace. And that's, we always talk about, there's two reasons you have those guys. One is for trade bait, and one is to move in and replace guys that you can't afford anymore. So I'd be a little more reluctant.
But you also don't know if those guys can play.
I don't, but I also know that you don't really have a Keuchel replacement sitting around.
No.
And you're going to need somebody. And maybe you go out and sign that guy. I don't know. But I'd be a little more reluctant to trade my top two or three prospects right now compared to last year when I don't know how much better I'm getting.
That's fair.
I mean, that's the thing. Maybe you get that guy and maybe he's just like Giles. I mean, are you really helping yourself that much? I don't know.
Well, I mean, Justin Verlander could have been the same Justin Verlander that he was with the Tigers and then everybody would be pissed off about it. But
yeah.
I mean, you look at a guy's full track record, you say, man, this is, if this guy can play at his best with us, then we've got something here. But
Albert says, gambling degenerate here. Any baseball games to lay some money on tonight or any upcoming games besides NBA? No.
I don't bet baseball.
I don't bet baseball.
Fred does either.
I have CFL starts in a couple weeks. I'll be on some games there. And honestly, man, I'd be playing more Stanley Cup games, except I have no feel for either one of these teams. They both have surprised me throughout these playoffs. I might lean under tonight. I think you might see some adjustments from the score fest the other night, but I don't feel that strong about it.
When is game eight of the Western Conference Finals?
You missed it. It was last night.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
It wasn't on TNT.
Chris,
I was watching
according
Burn
to Sheila
Notice.
Jackson Lee, Chris Paul played.
I was watching Animal Kingdom, so I didn't see it on TNT last night. I don't know where it could have been.
You just weren't paying attention.
Oh, okay.
Well, you can hear game two of the Stanley Cup Finals right here on ESPN 97.5 tonight.
Nice.
Are we going to have the NBA Finals on our air?
Correct. So
on 97.5 or 94.1?
97.5. So all of the Stanley Cup and the NBA Finals will be on ISM.
God, John, what a great job you're doing.
Yeah.
What a great job you're doing.
Notice how responsible he's gotten since now he has a family.
And look at us. What are we doing? We're paying somebody to run those games, huh?
Yes.
Cash flow's nice around here, my man.
I wonder who's responsible for that.
Woo!
All right, quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
Hey, everyone. A huge weekend in sports is coming up. And if you've been looking for an online sports book where you can play all the games, then pull out your phone and Shazam this commercial right now using the Shazam app for exclusive offers from BetDSI.com. BetDSI is giving away a free $25 wager if you use promo code SBG25 or simply just Shazam this commercial right now. You'll get instant access to register, play, win, and get paid on everything from football to reality TV. If it moves, DSI puts odds on it. So Shazam this commercial right now for instant access to BetDSI.com and get a free $25 wager on the house and 100% extra bonus when you deposit. Use your sports knowledge and love of the game to make some extra cash. Shazam now, or use promo code SBG25 to get your free wager and start winning today at BetDSI.com.
All right, guys, it's Gulfgate time. The savings never stop at Gulfgate. Save more during the Jeep celebration event going on now at Gulfgate Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram. Gulfgate is your savings headquarters Monday through Friday and every Sunday. That's right, they're open on Sundays. Lease a new 2018 Jeep Wrangler Sport 4-door for only $249 a month. If you need a lift, you got it. For a limited time, you get a free lift kit with every purchase of any new Jeep Wrangler. Find savings all over the lot. How about a 2018 Ram 1500 Harvest Crew Cab for only $27,195? And when you purchase any new Ram, you're also going to get a free lift kit. How about that? Gulfgate has the largest Ram inventory in the loop. Hurry down to Gulfgate Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram during the Jeep Celebration event. 610 South Loop East and Gulf Freeway. And always online at GulfgateDodge.com. Jeep Wrangler Sport, $249 a month for 26 months, $39.95 due at signing plus TT&L. Ram 1500 Harvest Crew Cab must apply for all rebates. Not everyone will qualify. Price plus TT&L. See dealer for details. Lift kit installation extra. Offers expire 5/31/18.
Listen to your favorite ESPN 97.5 show on the go with the ESPN 97.5 app for iOS or Android. Presented by Saltgrass Steakhouse. Now back to the Blitz with Fred and AJ.
And we are back on the Blitz. What are the odds Wednesday? Hey, if you get a chance, check out sportsmap.com today. You got Lance Zierlein on the Rockets. How they're forced into an all-in scenario. You got Del Olale with the three biggest roster questions for the Rockets in the offseason. And if you're going to watch the World Cup, our buddy Jerry Bow gives you a beginner's guide, including some gambling talk.
All right.
There's a couple I'm looking at there. I may make some World Cup bets. I've done this every year where I play a lot of draws early on because you always get a plus number.
Yeah.
And a lot of times the favorites, they're happy to get out with a draw. So I'll probably do that. But, so all that's on SportsMap. And just want to take a second to thank the people, to thank all the people who contribute, including guys like AJ, for a dominating record month on SportsMap in terms of page views.
Well, since the month is already basically a win, I won't be writing this week for SportsMap.
That's because you're going to be gone.
I'll be gone.
Yeah.
I'll be drunk.
That's fine because I still have to post the stuff before I fly out Friday. But
making your job easier. I'm doing it for you.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I appreciate that because, this is by far the most page views we've ever had, and it's not close. And we still have a day left. So hopefully this is just a year from now we're talking about, that was nice, but, I want it to keep growing.
Right.
Let's squeeze in a call real quick, Roland. What's up, Roland?
Sports, guys.
Sports.
Yeah, Portland.
I just wanted to say, what are the odds that Justin Verlander will finish in the top five MVP voting overall? I'll hang up and listen.
Cool. I mean, right now, I think he'd be in that.
If you voted today, yeah. But do you think that's going to continue all season? I don't think
it's hard to say. It's so hard to make
is.
It.
I think he's going to continue to pitch well, but can he pitch this well all year?
It's a big ask.
Yeah.
How about that? I mean, I don't think it's impossible, but
no.
It's a big ask.
No, and if he does, he's in the conversation. I still think that there's, I still think it's difficult. Because for a pitcher to win, you have to have almost the best hitters have to not show up. And Mike Trout's still out there.
And Mike Trout looks really good.
Yeah.
Mookie Betts has been really good. Aaron Judge, again, has been really good. J.D. Martinez is really good.
Yeah.
It's an uphill battle.
But, I'll say this. If he goes the entire season the way he's going, he's going to be top two or three.
Yeah.
Because that's historic. I was reading a tweet from Brian McTaggart, A.J. Hinch on Mariznick. We'd like to keep him in the lineup and get a couple of at-bats in a row to see if he can contribute offensively. He's had a couple good swings and also a couple of tough ABs. Okay. I guess that whole...
They love that guy.
I know they do.
They're not going to let that
They're just
going to
keep throwing him out
apart.
There. But I think Tony Kemp's leading off tonight.
Okay.
Which I've been curious to see.
Yeah, they're slow to give up on old Jake Mariznick.
Well, okay. They gave up enough to send him down. They just had to bring him back.
My goodness.
So this Brian Colangelo secret Twitter accounts thing. I if you haven't seen the story, apparently the Sixers GM is accused of criticizing his team and divulging information from several secret Twitter accounts.
Dude, I mean, what's the... I don't understand the point.
The point is...
I don't understand why he would do that.
Insecurity. I mean, that's all it is. And listen, Kevin Durant did it. Created fake accounts to go defend himself. Yeah, pretty sure Alex Bregman did it.
He's like bashing...
his own players.
Sixers players.
Yeah. It's to try to make himself look good.
Wow.
And it's the ultimate in insecurity as far as I'm concerned. I think having it, and there's no guarantee that all of these accounts are his, but boy, when they started digging into it, it sure looked like they're all his.
Yep.
That's got to be a fireable offense, right?
I would think so, and now, I mean, he's basically got Joel Embiid pissed off at him.
They called him lazy and selfish.
Yeah.
And, he ripped his coach.
He was a Sam Hinkie guy to begin with, and now this comes out. And you know what the worst part is? The Sixers are, I want to say as far as the odds go, the current favorites to win the LeBron sweepstakes, or maybe their second favorite. That's not going to help things. That's
no.
Not a good, I mean, I guess if LeBron wanted to come, they'd fire his ass tomorrow if LeBron asked him to.
You would think, but...
What an odd story. I don't understand why you do it. But, man, and I also, I mean, he's also an old-ass dude, and I don't know if...
But that makes it even weirder. I mean, how many old guys are...
Like, he doesn't even have a real Twitter account, does he?
I don't think so.
That's strange.
What these things come from is just complete insecurity in yourself, that you have to go and try to make yourself look good in social media by ripping other people. And hey, it's no different than, I mean, we have people at the station who text the show that are insecure about their own shows.
Yeah.
And act like I don't know your numbers, idiots. It's the same thing for people at other stations. Like, I don't know your phone numbers when you text in and rip on the show. But, I mean, this is a freaking GM of a team. And what the hell are you doing, dude?
I don't know. I think it's funny that Mark Cuban and your boy Daryl Morey, they were both poking fun at him on Twitter. And they're, like, they're buddies now all of a sudden.
Yeah, I didn't see what Morey said, but...
Morey said... you need two blue checks to confirm you are not a burner. And then Mark Cuban said, actually, that was back in the day. This was at Maury. That was actually back in the day. As of the new TPA, Twitter posting agreement, every NBA exec gets assigned 7 burner accounts. Let me know if I can help you get a flame for your accounts. By the way, love your burner account names. At Maury Meister is my fave. # feel the burn.
And then I think Maury came back with something about... You know, I think we need a cyber dust or something that failed social.
Oh, yeah.
That was funny.
That was funny. Yeah, what a weird story about Brian Colangelo. I mean, if it's found that he's really got nothing to do with it, I'm actually going to be disappointed.
Yeah, well, I they'll figure it out though. The bottom line is you can't hide from this crap. Jay Webby says, "What is it with people in Twitter? People are." Honestly, Twitter is one of the best creations of the last 15 years and also one of the worst.
What Twitter does is it gives everyone a chance to expose themselves for what they really are.
With no filter.
And eventually they do.
And that's the reality of it, is you, if you have no filter, you're going to come out looking stupid. And that's why you create accounts like this, is to eliminate your filter, too. And go and rip all these guys and make it, you know, look like, oh, well, everything that's happened here is because of Brian Colangelo.
Yeah. But by the way, speaking of Twitter, I had a couple people who were Roseanne defenders come at me, which...
Really? How, yeah. Honestly, how do you defend that?
I've got no idea.
I'd like to hear.
But they turn it into liberals are allowed to do this, but conservatives aren't. An example being the White House Correspondents' Dinner when Michelle Wolf...
She got pretty damn well ripped for that.
She did get ripped for it. And but let's also,
I didn't think it was very funny, to be honest with you.
Let's also keep this in mind with Michelle Wolf. She was paid money to go there and roast politicians.
Yeah.
That's a little bit different than throwing out some racist random tweet on Twitter. Like, that was her job that night, was to go there and roast politicians. That's the gig.
Again, I think if you're making this conservative or liberal, you're just dumb.
It's dumb.
Because this is just a stupid tweet.
I get it. I get it that Roseanne's she's team MAGA. But you at some point have to separate yourself. And
right.
Instead, everybody's like, well, how come Olbermann gets away with calling Trump a Nazi?
Well, that's pretty stupid, too. And I said that yesterday.
Yeah.
And frankly, why ESPN's hiring the guy? I don't know.
I don't either.
But that's... to defend somebody like that because you think it makes your side look bad. Listen, if somebody on your side screws up, call them out. The more you defend them, the more stupid you look. There's no defending that one. People are silly.
All right, I got to tell you guys about Bill Advisor. You like saving money, right? I think everybody does.
Who doesn't?
Everybody wishes they had a little bit more.
Who doesn't?
Jong, I know. Really, it's time for you to get on Bill Advisor, John. You need to save some bucks. That wedding was extravagant. It was like the royal wedding. I mean, there was it was insane. Oprah was there with a hat. Listen, if you've got a cell phone, pay TV, internet, electricity, home and auto insurance, you're probably paying too much. You got a great price to start out, but the bill went up. It always does. And Bill Advisor's there to save you some of that money. Week in and week out, they're saving hundreds for our listeners. Some saving over $800 a year. Some are saving over thousands per year. Tom D from Spring, Texas saved $1,920 on his TV, internet, and home security bills. Timothy S from Fort Worth, $2,463 saved on home, auto, and motorcycle insurance. And Eric N from Houston, he was the big winner this week, saved $3,960 on his cell phone and energy bills. That could be you, guys. It's really simple to get started. Text the word GO to 232323, and your personal Bill Advisor is going to get your information and start working for you. One more time, text the word GO to 232323, or go to BillAdvisor.com and click Start Saving.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
Hey, guys. I'm going to be going out of town this weekend. I'll tell you what I'm taking with me, my Thrive Plus, because I will be imbibing alcohol while I'm on vacation. And, guys, you get to a certain age, 30, 35, even a little bit of alcohol, it's going to make you feel less than 100% the next day. Well, nobody wants that. Was, you know, when I get up in the morning, I like to be ready to rock and roll, whether I'm working or whether I have the day off. And you can have a few drinks, and you're not there. So guess what Thrive Plus does? It's a vitamin you take whenever you drink alcohol. You simply take 3 capsules after your last beverage or before going to bed, and it's going to reduce alcohol's negative effects. It gives your liver what it needs to process alcohol and its toxic byproducts. And the cool thing about it is you don't have to take my word for it. There's science to this. And they were on Shark Tank. The founder's a Princeton graduate. They have 5 PhDs on their team. If you don't feel at least 50% better the next day, they're going to give you your money back. So whether it's one drink or five drinks, just take three Thrive Plus capsules afterwards. $3, man. That's what it costs you to feel good the next day. Is that worth it? I think so. That's why I won't drink without it. Thrive Plus, a Houston-based company, too. So if you order before 4 o'clock, you're going to receive the product on your doorstep the next day. To order Thrive Plus, go to DecideThrive.com. That's DecideThrive.com. They're even on Amazon. So if you want to order that way, simply search Thrive Plus on Amazon. I don't drink without it. You shouldn't drink without it. DecideThrive.com.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. And Lance Erline is here.
What's up, guys?
Brought his computer with him.
Yeah, that's right.
He's always working.
Yeah.
Always grinding.
Yeah, we're just grinding away right now.
Yeah, I understand.
Gotta be a grinder sometimes.
I understand. I haven't even gotten to hear, because your show comes on really, really early in the morning. I haven't got to hear your thoughts on the Rockets-Warriors finale. And were you at all surprised at the way it went down? Or was this kind of what you expected all along?
I wouldn't say I was surprised at how it went down. I mean, I was surprised the Rockets... No, I mean, I actually... That's about like I expected it to go down. I didn't expect them to have that kind of first half, but I knew once the first half was over, you know, there could potentially be problems. I didn't really trust that there was enough out there for the Rockets really to make the moves they needed to make in the fourth quarter. That was always going to be the big concern, is can they, you know, what can they do with what they have, which was James Harden and just a bunch of guys. What I didn't expect was such a lousy performance from Trevor Ariza. I didn't expect the second half for them to completely get away from what they had done in the first half. I thought that was really, really disappointing. I was really surprised at how the fans just decided it was just officiating that cost the Rockets a chance at the championship. And I'm like, man, I don't know. I thought that maybe the 27 missed threes in a row might have had something to do with it. I mean, it wasn't, you know, like a record for the playoffs for most misses in a consecutive misses. I thought that might have had something to do with it, but I guess not. I guess that's not what other people thought.
Well, I was. I'll hear the officiating wasn't great. But let's also act like it wasn't lopsided either. It wasn't all going one way.
No.
It's just that a lot of the...
Klay Thompson got 3 fouls in about 37 seconds.
Right.
I mean, that's a big deal.
So, and my biggest beef was it was inconsistent. And in the first quarter, everything was a foul. And in the third quarter, nothing was a foul.
Exactly.
But at the end of the day, it's playoff basketball. If you're a team that is counting on getting calls... You're probably not going to win, because in the playoffs, you just don't get as many calls as you do in the regular season.
Right.
That's how it's always been.
That's exactly right. And I think that's one of the, I thought it was much better with the Rockets not. I thought the fewer the calls, the better for the Rockets.
Right.
It needed to be a physical, aggressive game for them. And that benefited them, I thought, with having officiating. Look, one of the things that you don't like is that you don't get the calls either when you go to the basket. But it was very important, I thought, for the Rockets to have a game where they didn't. You know, they didn't have the officials call every little ticky-tack foul. I thought that was pretty important. And look, they had a really good first half. It's just you can't fade that kind of horrific second half. Yeah, they were clearly gassed, I would say. They didn't have, you know, they didn't have what they needed from an energy standpoint at the end of the game. But it is what it is. You have a certain amount of guys on your bench. It's hard to match up with the Golden State Warriors. You know that going in. And, you know, when it was said and done, you were in a position where you didn't have enough. I didn't think James stepped up. You couldn't get any one guy going other than Eric Gordon. And then they got hot. They got hot in the third quarter. They got their confidence. That's not the most confident team I've ever seen. I'll tell you that much. The Golden State Warriors are there to be had, but it ain't going to be by the Cleveland Cavaliers. That's not happening.
How many games do you think Cleveland wins?
I would say... I'll give them one.
I'm thinking two, but I was just talking to Fred during one of the breaks. There's an offer on the table of 1,200 to someone else's 500 that the Cavs win at least one game. So I think
you're 1,200. Oh, you take the Cavs.
I take the Cavs.
Oh,
win
man,
one
you
game.
Almost have to play that, right?
And then I was telling Fred, it's even money for the Cavs to win two games.
Yeah, from an odd standpoint.
Yeah. So yeah, you're. And I feel, oddly enough, I feel more comfortable risking more to win less just because two games seems like maybe that's – I'm not saying two games is impossible. And I'm a big believer in LeBron James. And when people were saying whoever wins this Warriors-Rockets series is going to sweep the Cavs, I'm like, dude, you guys haven't been watching the Eastern Conference games because LeBron is in dad mode. And he's not going to just roll over and die. There's no way.
No, that's one of the things I thought that is – LeBron was one of the great his performances in Game 6 and Game 7, basically. Any argument you make for James in terms of – and I think James is the MVP this year. I mean, by the way that it should be voted on, James is clearly the MVP. But when you say, well, James, you can't blame James for this or that because he was tired or fatigued. LeBron played 48 minutes and willed his team to win.
And
that
way,
was
LeBron,
a guy who finished, who's going to finish second in MVP. So before you're chanting MVP at the – just know that that's what MVPs do is what LeBron did in Game 6 and in Game 7, playing 48 minutes.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's ultimately what we wanted out of James Harden. Boy, I thought he was really good in the first half.
LeBron's 5 years older than James.
Yeah, and played more minutes this year, more games. But well,
and how many more minutes and games in the last 7 or 8 years?
A ton.
I mean, it's crazy.
I mean, an absolute ton. And that's and ultimately, I thought James was showing us in the first half, man, he's having that moment. He's having that breakout moment where he changes his legacy. And then
never happened.
When it was all said and done, it was Trevor Ariza was 0 for 12, scored no points in 41 minutes. Clint Capella was nowhere to be found in the second half. You had James Harden just kind of just...
Gordon and Harden battling to see who could have a lower shooting percentage.
Yeah, but at least Gordon was saying, I got to do something.
Yeah.
James was just too... He was too ready to just sit back and do nothing. And that just wasn't okay with me. I'm not putting it all on him. I mean, we know he needs a Chris Paul next to him. I think I do give him a great shot at winning if Chris Paul had been there. But he wasn't. You'll re-sign him, and that's what my Sports Map article is about today. Look, you're going to re-sign Chris Paul, right? We know that, and you should. But once you do that, you're re-signing a guy who missed 24 games due to mostly to soft tissue injury, and all that does is get worse when you get older. So once you re-sign him and make that decision, you have to respond accordingly, which means you have to get everything it takes to help the Rockets win with a potentially injury-prone veteran guard, which means they got to get another guard, a point guard, you know, which is what they missed. They didn't have anybody else they could go to on the bench, and you're going to have to find a secondary scorer again to pick up the pieces in case Chris Paul is out in that situation, because James can't lead you. I mean, he can't put a team on his back. He's had multiple opportunities in the postseason. He's never done it. You can't count on him to do it. Really good player, all-star, but he's not one of those guys. So you better find somebody else who can help him in case Chris Paul's not there. And there's a good chance Chris Paul is going to miss time.
I compared after this series. I just said James Harden's Russell Westbrook. And it's not... It's. I know people around here say that's a knock on James Harden. Russell Westbrook's really good.
I don't even know if he is. He Russell Westbrook even?
I don't know. I mean, he's a great offensive player who, if he is the second best guy on your team, I give you a good shot.
You know, James to me it's self inflicted. James has everything you need. I think it's self inflicted where he just. I think he gets tight.
Well, that's
Russell
that's
Westbrook's
where they're
just kind of dumb.
Russell Westbrook,
as a basketball player,
he'll never shy away from shooting.
Never in a million years.
He could be 0 for 50, and he still wants the ball.
To a fault.
James is kind of the opposite. He starts off poorly, he gets into a funk, and then he's just like he's looking to get the ball out of his hands.
Right. Right. Yeah.
And
that's why the comparison.
The best players in the league just don't do that.
But doesn't it give you guys an appreciation for how good the true superstars are? Like. How many guys truly can put entire teams on their back? LeBron, MJ, Kobe had moments, but everyone needs. Dirk Nowitzki did it in 2000. What was it? 8 or was it 9? Maybe it was 9.
2009. That was for his first. LeBron's first.
Yeah. Not many guys. Not many guys can do it. And I thought James had an opportunity to. It would have been interesting if they had won Game 7 to see how the Chris Paul saga would have played out. because I think he still would have missed game one of the championship series too. That's a bad – man, that hamstring looked pretty bad.
Yeah.
Guess it doesn't matter now.
It doesn't matter now. Got plenty of time to rest up.
Yep. Well, that's how it goes.
So how'd your story finish there? Was it the first best story or the second best story that you were working on?
Second best story.
Just checking.
Yeah, it's still a pretty good story. I mean,
First best get paid.
The first best?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Oh, actually, no, it's third best story. First two stories get paid.
Damn. Mm-hmm. So that's a sad story then.
It's one of the saddest.
That's a sad story.
It's like being one of Jong's groomsmen and having to knowing that once you get to certain tables, the drinks are going to go backwards to you, and you just got to. You got to take the hit.
So let's talk.
I didn't know that, by the way, that Jong, I was going through the whole wedding thing with Jong. Like, what were the rules? Did you do all the shots? And he goes, it's what you have groomsmen for. At certain tables, you got to pass them. Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah. Well, that's why, I mean, Trevor Ariza was, if Ariza was at Jong's wedding, he would have just immediately started throwing up in the first 30 minutes of the wedding.
Ariza is a horrible groomsman.
Yeah, exactly.
He's the kind of guy who, right before the wedding, he talks about the chick that you banged at your bachelor party.
Yeah, that's like, no good.
Like, what?
That's no
Where'd
good.
Where'd that come from?
There was a couple, I'm going to be honest with you. There was a couple of times where I got nervous during speeches at Jong at your wedding, where the speeches, I was like, well, be careful now.
Hardcore.
Don't pull the curtain back too much. And I can't remember if it was about Jong.
It was about Teresa mostly.
Yeah, and I was like, hey, whoa. Well, let's not get any passive aggressive stuff here.
She was like, let's call it what it was. Teresa was out of control. It's my big day. Like, give me a break, sis.
When I got married, you got to be smart. You got to put the right people on groomsmen and bridesmaids.
You have a good time at the wedding?
I did. That was a fun time. I told you guys this. I haven't told Jong this, but when I went and I had to just run by a doctor real quick, and it was over at Men's Tea Clinic. I'll just throw it out there. And the provider who was there said, well, you have anything going this week? And I said, I'm actually going to a wedding. She goes, oh, today? Yeah. She said, oh, I'm going to one tomorrow. She said, where is it? I said, well, this is already at like 2 o'clock. Or no, this is right at about 1 o'clock. I said, well, I'm actually going to the reception. It's going to be at Kim Sun. She goes, oh, and she's Asian. She said, oh, is this your first Asian wedding? I said, it is. And she goes, oh. She said, I got married 2 months ago, and we had our reception at Kim Sun. She said, you going Bel Air or Jefferson? I said, it's Jefferson, right? Yeah. I think it's Jefferson. She goes, okay, well, let me tell you what's going to happen. And I was like, what, is this a thing? She goes, oh, it's a thing. She said, there's going to be 7 courses. You're going to have lobster. You're going to have steak. I mean, she called the whole menu. She said, this is exactly how it's going to be. She said, there's going to be a lot of drinking. She said, eventually there will be a lot of dancing, and there will be a tremendous amount of food. Now, I saw the food and the drinking, and she was right. It was, and I've been to weddings in Louisiana, and I'm like, man, this is like.
There's a lot of booze going on.
I've been
in
New Orleans weddings. This is.
A lot of booze.
The guys next to us were champions.
Did your wife enjoy the time? She seemed like maybe she was ready to get out of there.
Yeah, I was. What you don't know.
Okay.
Is we had had an enormous fight as we were leaving the driveway.
Is that why she was bleeding?
No, not that. I would have been. We had an enormous argument. Well, it wasn't enormous. It was just a small argument where it got a little snippy with the word choice. We got a little...
Never used a C word, Lance.
No, it wasn't like that. Okay. It was just like I started being a smart aleck. She did. I went over, I pushed chips all in.
Right.
And then it was like, and then I could tell, okay.
The worst time to do that is right before an event where you can't
hash
it out.
And I tried to, you might have noticed we really didn't talk at all the whole night. We're fine now.
Right.
But that was an unusual time for us to get, and I realized as I'm driving there, like, this one's probably going to last a while. Like, this is not going to be an easy out of this one.
And there wasn't like the, when you get to the parking lot going, listen, babe. I'm sorry. I was stupid.
I can't remember what it's about now. that's not good either. But I remember enough to know that it wasn't something that was going to be an easy out. And I was just like, well, maybe the drinks will slow it down, and the food, and let me offer. Oh, here, do you like this? And I noticed even those little baby questions I would ask, like, oh, didn't you, man, those scallops are really good. Nothing. And I was like, there's not going to be any like making up. And I realized
I was sitting next to him. I got a front row seat to the whole thing.
It was not so like we didn't argue at the table. There just was no talk.
There was no conversation.
There was no talking.
I just
and she's texting the whole time to friends, putting me on blast.
I just assumed she just wanted to get out of there. Like she didn't want to be at the wedding.
No, she wanted me to get out of there, and she wanted to be at the wedding.
She wanted you to
leave. Oh, yeah. She wanted for me to leave. And then her to have the food and the drinks and the fun.
What did you
think? I was her fun anchor because of our argument.
What did you think of Fred making the executive decision to invite Patrick Creighton to our table?
I thought it was, you know what? This guy's been an editor of a newspaper, so he understands the concept of team. You are not a team player, clearly.
What?
That's the rumor around the station. AJ, not team guy. All the interns have said it. And so Fred, yeah, I thought Fred did. Now, me, I'm selfish.
You would have
to
said,
me, I was like, how about a little more room at the table? Everything was going fine here. I like Patrick fine. I'm also the guy at movie theaters. I'm not going on Friday or Saturday ever to a movie that opens. You know why?
Because you don't want to be jammed
up. Because I need seats on both sides.
Yeah.
I need all the room.
You don't want to share an armrest.
Never. I'll go see Black Panther week 13.
My initial thought was when Fred said, oh, Patrick Creighton, come on over here. I was like, I wanted to say, wait a minute. Why don't you go over there and sit with Patrick Creighton if he's so lonely? And
that was your our initial thought was, hey, we're inviting two more here where we've got food for one, and then we had the best of both worlds.
Then we did
Somebody spoke up and his food at his table
and his
came
booze,
over,
which I
and his booze
did go into my thinking. They brought the other bottle of cognac over with them, and then they started bringing the food over.
And Patrick, if you're listening, this has nothing to do with you. You're a fine man.
He's in Vegas. He's not.
It
listening.
Has everything to do with Patrick for me. Like that's what I was saying. If it was some other guy, I would have said, "Come on over." Patrick's a weirdo. I mean, let's face it.
For me, it was just about I need the. This is, I already have a little heat to me on my left.
Right.
With my wife, I'm like, I've already got some smoke here.
I also thought that might, you know,
thaw
things a little bit.
Nah, it didn't.
If she had someone else to talk to besides
it
you.
Didn't.
Oh, yeah. That's a great idea, Fred. She's pissed off. Let's put Patrick Creighton next to her to converse.
Well, I thought
that'll help things.
I thought Patrick's wife was going to sit next to her. Maybe she has somebody to talk to.
Let me tell you something. There was nothing that was going to do anything. That was one.
It was noticeable. It was noticeable.
Yeah, it lasted that night. It lasted the next day.
God, you got to just get into that apology mode.
No, I have. Oh, I know when to. When I'm at fault. I didn't feel like I was at fault, and so I'm like, I don't even
care if I'm at fault. I just say it. Like, just to.
Yeah, you just you know what? That's like if you are at a card table and you just keep letting somebody push you around with the chip stack. Eventually, not saying she does that to me, but you got to know when you re-raise somebody, which I did.
Okay.
And I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to re-raise you, and I'll just let you know this re-raise will be if you don't talk to me or you don't cool it. Then I can do this for. It'll probably be a 2-day thing.
It seems like doing it at that time is like you repopping with pocket tins.
Yeah,
it's just not the smartest time to do it.
No, I'm not saying it was a smart call. I'm not saying I was, but I was pot committed.
Yeah, I guess so.
I was pot committed, and I was going to stick by. I was going to play my jacks, and that's what I did. I played jacks.
And maybe I'm lucky this way because we have this bit where if we're going somewhere in public. If we're disagreeing about something, it gets dropped until we're done because you don't want anybody in public to think you're fighting.
Right. Well, this one kind of snuck up out and God, I need to remember what this was.
I kind of really know what it's about now. But then the other thing is we have a 9 a.m. the next day thing. So after 9 a.m., anything you said, forget about it. It's over. Move on.
Oh, I can. Now, I drop things very quick. I'm not a grudge holder. She's a grudge holder. I'm not a grudge holder. But
it'll never work.
So if you are holding a grudge, then I will just sit and play you the same way.
So you and Adam Clanton, you're good now.
Yeah, I've never had smoke with him. We just want to get off the show with each other.
Okay.
He didn't want to be on the show with me. I didn't want to be on the show with him.
Sometimes that's marriage. Yeah, you don't want to be married to her.
Yeah, wish him luck in whatever he does. Good luck with he's going to have a child. And I told him congratulations on getting married. But, you know, I just, sometimes you want to do shows who you want to do shows with.
I feel you.
That's it.
You still want to do a show with John?
Yeah. I'm still good with John.
Sure?
Yeah.
All
yeah,
right.
I am. I still talk to Matt Thomas. I talked to him the other day. Matt, I was glad to see Matt getting a little attention for his disdainful intro of the Golden State Warriors and Steve Kerr.
Steve Kerr.
So, yeah, that's it. You know what I love? I love that I can do this with Granato, and I can do it with my buddy Chris Solis. But there's not a lot of other people that I can just use poker terminology, and you know exactly what I'm talking about. Like, poker hands and how you're playing at a table is life. It is. I can't tell you how many times when you just say, man, I'm just all in now, or hey, I just went over the top. You know, everything that happens in life, there is a poker hand or a way that you're playing at a table that is the equal.
It's relatable.
It's completely relatable.
I guess this is why I get along with everybody. I just fold. Yeah, especially exactly. The wife. I fold a lot.
Hey, I know when to fold weak hands. I know when to fold weak hands, and I know when to just say, hey, I'm sorry about it.
I might have aces, but if the wife thinks she's right, I'm folding.
Yeah, and actually, here's what was even worse. We had kind of made up. We don't make it. It just happens. You don't like, okay, are we made up now? Okay. But then she asked me something about, why did you get so mad the other day? And instead of me just, I had a 9-8 suited connector hand. I tried to play it. I overplayed it, and it started another little one-day argument. Yeah. So, you got to play your cards.
Too deep into pots with these marginal hands.
No,
man.
I know. I mean, I had marginal hands this weekend. But you know what I didn't care about? I didn't care about her being mad at me because I'm like, well, I got lobster. I got steak. I've got Remy. I've got open bar. I had the fried rice. I had the seafood bird's nest. You can be mad all you want. This dummy waiter, what are they called? Dummy waiters, whatever the spinning table was.
A Lazy Susan.
Lazy Susan. I think that's it. I'm just like, no, it's dumb. It's called dumb waiter.
No,
lazy
dumb waiter Susan is something that goes up and down.
Yeah, you're right.
That's a
whatever it is. I'm like, you can be mad all you want. I can spin food around my way whenever I want. I can spin drink around my way.
Yeah,
well, I don't care if you're mad.
Who was driving home?
It was me. That's why I cut back.
Wouldn't it have been better if she were driving home and then you could have just gone all out?
Then get wrecked and then just talk to her all the way home because I know she'd love that.
Because that would have been you playing that. That would have been
that's
you
playing a bad hand.
That would have been you repopping with Jax.
I know.
And then when the flop comes, ace, king, eight.
Hey, I'm all in. I said I re-raised. I didn't say I went all in.
Okay.
You got to know. I'm not going to go all in with a questionable hand, but I will occasionally re-raise you in a marriage because you have to sometime. You got to stand your ground for whatever reason, and I can't remember what reason that was. But
it was fun sitting at the table with you, though.
Well, good. Yeah. I'm glad.
Even though you misplayed the hand, it was.
was there anyone at the wedding who you thought was inappropriately drunk?
Inappropriately drunk.
I mean, besides Jong.
Yeah.
No, Jong kept it together. I was shocked. I thought Jong was 20 drinks in, and he clearly wasn't.
He was like eight lines of coke in, though.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
He was bouncing around like I've never seen.
Oh, this is your first Asian wedding?
I'd never heard that. Not that I noticed. The guys next to us were drinking heavy, and I didn't notice them. They all seemed to be handling it.
The table next to us, Jong, there was tables against the wall. And then us.
It was her brothers. It was a table with your wife's brothers, and they were legitimately legendary with how they drank.
Yeah. I mean, they were.
They started before we even sat down.
Their bottle of cognac was gone before John got to the table.
And we had Tyler out there like, we got to catch up them.
We
do it for the culture. Like, shut up, Tyler. You're going to get us all killed. We can't drink this much.
Well, you notice Tyler was the only one there without a significant other.
Yeah, and Tyler was going in now.
Yeah, let's get wrecked.
No, Tyler was going in. I see him. He's shaking his head. He did.
Yeah, that whole table over there with the, I guess Tyler was at, and all the, most of the people whose names we don't know.
Tyler was at our table.
Tyler was at our table. What's the other?
Fred was also inappropriately drunk.
No.
The part-time table.
That's right. Yeah, the part-time table. Those guys were getting lit.
Oh, that's how you're supposed to do it.
Yeah. But that's right. Yeah, Tyler was. Tyler looked sharp, man, for a dude with a beard.
Yeah.
He cleans up okay
for
a white guy.
Yeah, he cleans up fine. He knows the deal. He knows the rules. If there's alcohol on the table, you drink it. Did you see him like pulling up short? No.
No.
Well, he didn't come to lay up. I can tell you that.
He wasn't going to fold.
No.
He's playing that thing to the river, win
call,
or lose.
He's call. Like, call. Yep. Wow. I can't get this guy out of the hand.
Appreciate the time, Lance.
All right, boys. Man. Take care.
All right, I got to tell
I'm
going
to go do some more writing.
Thank you. We got to tell you guys about Republic Harley Davidson. I went down there a couple weeks ago to have my bike service. They put me on a demo bike for a while, and man, some of these new Softails are out of this world. The 2018 Softail Breakout, one of the coolest bikes I've ever been on. And Republic Harley-Davidson's got a ton of them. Their inventory's out of this world. Right now, you buy a new 2018 Harley-Davidson, you get free mufflers, free air cleaner, free street tuner, free professional dyno tuning, and free installation only at Republic Harley-Davidson. My bike was there to be serviced because they're the only guys I trust with my bike. They've got 7 master technicians on staff, way more than any other dealer in Houston. You know the job's going to get done right. The staff is professional, knowledgeable, friendly. They're going to treat you right, and they're going to get you on the Harley of your dreams. It's that simple. This Saturday, come out and ride in the 8th Annual Parade of Chrome Law Enforcement Memorial Ride, benefiting the Sugarland PD. Food, SWAT vehicles, drinks, and a 45-minute escorted ride. Riders get free tickets to a Skeeters game, and to ride, you must register either online or the day of at Republic Harley-Davidson from 2 to 4. Meet at Republic. You get a free T-shirt if you're one of the first 100 people to register. Go to republichd.com for more information about the ride. Whatever your Harley needs, service, newer pre-owned bikes, merchandise, riding classes, Republic Harley-Davidson is the best in Houston. They've got financing for everyone. 12707 Southwest Freeway in Stafford, just outside the Beltway, or online at republichd.com.
This is The Blitz.
The Blitz
on ESPN 97.5.